That's what she said.
Welcome to the 123rd edition of the Gooner Podcast. This is your host, David Udo, and we're recording on the Monday evening in the middle of the international break. Arsenal's previous game was the away defeat at Manchester United, whilst they next play this coming Saturday when they entertain Southampton. As for our panel, it's one of those rare occasions when the so-called classic lineup from the early days of the Gooner Podcast are all available. So let's reacquaint ourselves with the legends that are. Firstly, he's often in either Spain, Germany or Brazil, but tonight he's back in North London. We've no idea whether he's still sighting Arsenal players in the environs of NW3, but he will doubtless shoehorn in anyone... Look, I'm going to start again. He will doubtless shoehorn in anyone he has accosted since his last appearance. It's a warm welcome to the man formerly known as Mustafa Goldstein, but once again reverted to Don Sebastiano.
Am I? I didn't know that.
That's what my script says.
No, I'm Mustafa Goldstein.
Senor Goldstein.
That was quite an intro. That's a lot to live up to, that.
Next up, he's usually at some marketing conference in Oslo, Madrid or Budapest. If Arsenal had as many points as he has air miles, the title would be sewn up already. Here to confirm, it's not all glamour in the world of the media. It is a delight to welcome back Mr. Mark Ollington.
Hello, one and all. I hope you're all very, very well on this lovely morning, afternoon or evening, depending on when you're listening to it in podcast land.
Finally, his column in the most recent issue of the Gooner sparked a couple of emails in protestation at his attack on the people of Poland when he went into one about the booing of God Save the Queen at the recent Wembley International, which saw England qualify for Brazil 2014. It's safe to say in the supposed one-day referendum on membership of the European Union, his vote is heading straight for the let's get the hell out box. Henry Kissinger, he ain't. It's hello to the Highbury spy, Mr. Steve Ashford.
I wish I could deny all that.
Those of you listening at home, I'm so glad this wasn't recording for an hour before we started. So, let's start with the last game played and the unfortunate defeat at Old Trafford. Arsenal, still top of the table, but what does the game tell us about Arsenal's chances of topping the pile next May, Mr. Goldstein?
Well, I've got to say, after the game, I comforted myself with what I thought before the game. In fact, before those three games, Liverpool, Dortmund and Man U, and I told myself as a fan, if we get 6 points out of those three in both competitions, I will be happy with that. So, you know, we were on a really good run there, and it was going to come to an end, and I thought, well, you know, Old Trafford's the sort of place, runs come to an end. I need not even mention one certain diving, cheating, Rooney scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
I still can't get over that moment where the ref gave that penalty when the 49ers were about to win their 50th match.
Terrible. Mike Wiley, wasn't it?
It was just, I can't remember who it was, but I nearly used the word we're not meant to use. What was the question again?
And what do you think the defeat at Old Trafford tells us about our chances of topping the league come the end of the season?
Right now we're at a real point where Southampton next is a big game.
Mm-hmm.
Win that game and get back to business as usual for this season.
Yep.
We can win the league. But, and it's a big but, is did that expose that we... You know, we did miss Rositzky and Mertesacker in that game. I really felt like Rositzky's been running around, tackling, chasing. Flamini had just come back and he wasn't really match fit, so he's taken off a bit early. But Rositzky has been working his balls off. So, and Mertesacker's been a real revelation as well. He suddenly turned into the next Tony Adams. So, you know, I think we're... I'm still optimistic that we're going to be there or thereabouts because we've had such a good start to the season, and we seem to have just found that little bit of quality. Obviously, Ozil, who didn't play well, even when he's not playing well, there's something, you know, having a player of that quality in the side. But I won't go into the obvious next question. We'll leave that. Or let someone else have it.
Mr. Ashford, when the final whistle went, did you turn into Fraser from Dad's Army, running around saying we're doomed over again, throwing your car keys at the TV, screaming Wenger out, Wenger out? Were you thinking, oh, fine, we'll stuff Southampton in a fortnight? What's happened?
Neither of those things, actually. David, I was incredibly, incredibly depressed and angry and upset. I knew that run, with that magnificent run, 14 out of 15 games, was going to have to come to an end at some stage. and I would have put money on it happening at Old Trafford. I'm not saying that that means we've gone back to, you know, previous seasons and we've been found out, and, you know, as soon as we play a big team we're going to lose because Dortmund kind of put an end to that kind of thought. But Man United, they weren't even a good side.
No,
I didn't think they were a good side at all. And we were without Mertesacker and Rosicky, as Basti says, and there's two players we can afford less to do without at the moment. It's Rosicky and Mertesacker. Rosicky, because of the energy he brings and the, you know, the vibrance and carrying the ball into the opposition half. Mertesacker, because the whole defence just revolves around him and he just organises it all. Having said that, United, as they always do when we play up there, put all of their men behind the ball and waited for a penalty or a dead ball or a corner to, you know, get their winning goal, which they always do. So apart from that 8-2, you know, all they do up there is defend against us, and they always win. And it happened again. That's what made me really, really furious. But long term, I think we're better than Man United. So once the anger subsided, I just thought, right, come on, let's go and do it. Let's go and win the next 14 games. And let's carry on as we have been since last March.
Mark, losing 1-0 to a shit team like Manchester United, I mean, we're not going to win the league, are we? It's going to be last day of the season away at Norwich, praying that we win 1-0 and scrape fourth place at the very most, isn't it?
What depressed me about that game the most, David, was that not at any point were we really in the game. I know we only lost 1-0, but from the time in it that game kicked off, I did not think we were ever going to score a goal. And that's what depressed me the most. And do you know what? I think Steve's right in what he says. I think it's not, you know, it hasn't gone back to last season. But what worries me is, as you mentioned, Rosicky, Mertesacker both got the flu for this game. And then once again, Ramsey got put out to the wing, where he had his worst game all season. And as the game went on, Ramsey got more and more on the flanks and become more and more ineffectual. And is our squad really that thin? And we all saw what happened to Ramsey last season when he was on the wing. He's terrible there, but that's where he played for the entire game against Man United, and he just didn't have a good match at all. And what worries me is one or two injuries, and we seem to like go back to worm type. And I was just a bit depressed because not at one point in that match did I think we could ever kind of get a win. And that Liverpool game was fantastic. The Dortmund match, when really we come really strong second half. Really, when Dortmund were a better team, that's the way to play football.
Yep.
And I was buzzing before the game. And as Steve said, this is not a typical Man United team. They're getting a few points now, but when you look at that team sheet, it's not like the Man United of old, where you go, I'm scared of him, I'm scared of him, I'm scared of him.
No, not at all.
The front line's good.
Yeah.
But apart from that...
Apart from
Rooney and Van Persie.
And Van Persie and to a certain extent Jones.
Yeah.
Who are Man United?
Exactly.
I wouldn't swap any of their players for hours.
I agree.
You're right, Steve.
I would swap Robin Van Persie for Nicholas Bentner.
Oh, of course you would, yeah.
And there was that right at the end, was Sanya whipped in that really good cross. The thing is, Giroud is the sort of player... Giroud? You have to say it like Wenger does,
Giroudo, if you will.
Giroud. He seems to sort of always play half a second behind the game. I think he's really good at controlling the ball. He's a good footballer, but he's not sharp, and he's not 1 second ahead of the game. He's always one behind, sort of thing. And Bentner's just a fucking joke.
We'll come back to centre forwards in a minute, please, Mr. Rollington.
No, and that's it, really. So after the game, I was like Steve. I was really, really down because we didn't show up. I know we had some flu in the team and this and that, but as Steve says, Man United, each season, they tactically get us. They do put
every
men behind, year, behind
they just
the ball.
Put everyone behind the ball, and they still win.
But I thought with Moyes, things might be a little bit different. But no, they set themselves up the same, and we played into them exactly the same way as we always do. And what was even sadder than that was we played with a sense of fear. And we've played with a sense of fear all season. Yeah, like you've gone into games being really positive. We've taken the game to a lot of teams. And that's what really upset me after that match. We were never in it.
You're right.
Harsh but fair, sad but true. For me, one of the main points you raised was that even before Man United scored, we didn't look as though we were going to score at all. It was unfortunately overly reminiscent of the Borussia Dortmund game in the sense that we nicked a goal from our one and only real chance in that game prior, up until the point we scored that goal. But when United scored theirs, it was like, well, what are we going to do? All we had was Giroud up front, who's played every minute, and the poor guy's absolutely knackered.
I think playing Flamini and Arteta does not work. Arteta and Flamini in the middle at any game does not work at all.
There's one or the other.
You play with one or the other.
Yeah. Mr. Ashford, that's next on my list after we've... We're going to start at the top of the team and work down. Basti, you started a few minutes ago. I mean, let's face it, Giroud has had to play every single minute. If anyone's listening and has seen Yaya Sanogo anywhere, please let us and the police know. We just want to know that he's safe. He's gone. Ju-Young Park does exist, but let's face it, more chance of me playing up front than him. All we've got is Nicholas Bentner. Do we need a new striker in January? Are we going to try and get one? Tell me, Mr. Goldstein. Well, ask him up front.
We've got Nicholas Bentner, the future Real Madrid or Barcelona striker. So what are we worried about? You know, according to today's Evening Standard, that's where he'd like to go.
The greatest striker that ever lived, says his tattoo.
He's just not. We do need a striker, big time. And I like Giroud. I like him. The way I see it is, he's like an Alan Smith. We need an Ian Wright. You know, he can hold the
ball
up.
In his dreams.
Well, no, he's not as good. Maybe not exactly the same as Alan. So Smudger was all hail Smudger forever. I'll never forget that goal in the Parken Stadium, which I was happy enough to be there that day. Oh, fucking hell, that was good.
You realised he could kick with his left foot until that night, could you?
Could you see Giroud scoring a goal like that?
He could score one. Where's Podolski, happened to Podolski?
That's a fair question.
There is a statistic.
Because Podolski can score. He's scored some great goals.
He was out for 3 weeks after he got injured earlier on in the season. And since then, I think, him and Sonogo are camping.
He's torn his hamstring, hasn't he, literally?
Where is it?
Podolski. He's back after the international break.
It's not a case of Wilshireitis, is it?
Is Lewandowski a possibility in January?
No. He's available on a free transfer this coming summer. He can't sign a pre-agreement with Bayern München until January. No, with anyone until January. He can't sign for Bayern München until June because they're in the same league. If Borussia Dortmund want to make any money, they can sell him in January to a foreign club.
But the thing is, if he plays for Bayern Munich or Man City, he might not get a game every week, whereas if he plays for us, he would. So maybe that's I'm praying that something like that might swing a player our way.
I reckon that if it was made known that they were willing to sell Lewandowski to a foreign club, Chelsea and Man City would be in there like a shot.
Yeah, but would Lewandowski want to play for them? Because is he going to get a game every match? I mean, he's going to be sitting on the bench. With us, he can play with Ozil. He can play with... He's got a couple of Germans there.
I think we're more likely to get Man City's cast-offs than we are to get Lewandowski.
That's what we're talking about.
That's a bad thing.
Well, Edin Dzeko. If we're lucky, I'll take him.
We need a world-class striker who scores goals. I mean, the thing is, we haven't replaced Robin van Persie.
No, we haven't.
We need someone who's Ian Wright, Robin van Persie.
And the trouble with Giroud is, he doesn't make his own goals. We've always had strikers that made their own goals. And Henri, to a certain extent, Ian Wright, Alan Smith.
Van Persie, even.
Adebayor made his own goals.
That's a very good point.
Van Persie made his own goals. Yeah. Giroud, it always has to come from a cross or a through ball. Mm. Or more often than not, a cross or a cutback. I don't think I've ever seen Giroud make a goal himself and score it himself.
No, he was involved in the... Wasn't he involved in the Wilshire goal? The Wilshire goal?
He did two of the touches.
He made the goal for Wilshire, but he hasn't really made one for himself.
No. Well, even if that's the case, I think, you know, he's been, compared to last season, he's been a different player. But what worries me about him, I think the guy's come on leaps and bounds, but he still only really scores against the lesser teams. I know he scored against Tottenham. To me, they're a lesser team, so that doesn't change that fact. Mm-hmm. But apart from the goal against Spurs... Tell me if I'm wrong, has he scored against a top six, seven team?
Yes. He hasn't scored against Man City, Chelsea or Man United.
And he's only scored one goal out of London.
And whilst we're on Giroud, can I just say, because it's
traditional... I like the guy, by the way. He's come on leaps and bounds.
But it's traditional, right, for me to come out and name drop that I did meet Giroud in Hampstead High Street 3 weeks ago.
Is he a very handsome man in real life?
Do you know what? I'm getting older because he just seemed like this, almost like... Very young.
They all look the same.
He's very young, but I gave him a copy of my book, Hampstead Faces, by Emmanuel Mustafa Goldstein, which is a book that really exists that you really can buy at Waterstones, either in Finchley Road or Hampstead. But I just thought I'd plug that one. And it does have Patrick Vieira and Cesc Fabregas in it, and lots of Arsenal references throughout. So do go. Good Christmas stocking filler. Hampstead Faces.
But what did he think of your book, Basti?
Well, he sort of looked at me. He was getting photographed by, obviously, a French magazine or something. Yeah. And they were across the road photographing me. I just went over and I said, oh, hello. And I introduced myself and said, I just thought I'd give you a copy of my book. It's got Cesc and Patrick Vieira in it. I'm a big Arsenal fan, blah, blah, blah. And he just sort of looked at me blankly as I was a complete raving lunatic. And so I went, oh, thank you. And I left him alone after that, rather than stalk him around the high street, which is what you'd have done, Steve.
Good. No, I don't talk to any foreign Arsenal. Not foreign Arsenal players, but any Arsenal players, to be honest. I remember I met Tony Adams once, and I just got all tongue-tied, tongue-twisted, my legs shook and I just kind of cowered away.
That's funny because Tony Adams, he put me at real ease. He's a very relaxed sort of fellow.
Yeah.
I've come across three players. Perry Groves was a complete a bastard in the sense that this was an end of season dinner at the Emirates, and we go up to the bar at the same time. I'm like, oh, go on, Perry, you know, you're Perry Groves, of course you can. He sort of taps on the shoulder, says, thanks, mate. Turns around, says, can I have 746 pints of lager, 232 bottles of wine, and a shot, please? Something like that. And there's me just waiting for one pint of Kronenbourg. So don't like Perry.
I like Perry. I like him for doing exactly that. I think
unbelievable. Great, wonderful. I'm sorry, I knew you'd been on his side.
Number one is Perry Groves.
I'm still like a kid. They're still my idols, and you know, I just don't.
Funnily enough, I feel like that about the Beatles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But two of which are dead, and the other two I've never met. If I met them, I'd go all completely weird.
Yeah.
But with Arsenal players, especially now, I used to feel more, but especially now, they're like 20 years younger than me. And when you bump into them, it's like, you know. Well, Patrick Vieira, I'm still a bit in awe of when I meet him.
I did meet Ray Parlour once.
I did
conjure up the courage to actually speak to him. And I said, do you ever read The Gooner, Ray? And he went, oh, is that the one that the Supporters Club produced? I said, no, it's the best-selling one.
Oh, that's
said,
annoying.
I've ever seen that one.
Oh, that's so annoying.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so annoying.
And that was only about 10 years ago.
Yeah. Well, the editor of The Gooner sitting over there, he is actually smiling.
He's writing a suicide note. sorry, Mr. Ollington, you were saying with regards to Arsenal up front.
Yes. I had to say. I like Giroud. He's come on. Very, very much, but he's not the answer, is he? And my fear with Mr. Wenger is that he'll see Podolski coming back or Theo coming back as a viable option and won't go out and splash the cash in January, which would be a disaster.
He will. The only thing is,
will someone take Bentner off our hands? I mean, he really wants to go. I know Real Madrid and Barcelona will not take him off our hands, nor will Man City, Chelsea, Man United, or anyone.
Someone will, though.
Crystal Palace didn't even.
Palace or West Ham.
No, they did, but we stopped at the last moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Deal was set, we pulled down.
Someone will.
Palace got Chamakh and Bentner. That's, I mean,
I was all set to give Bentner the benefit of the doubt this season. I was prepared to get behind him, you know, cheer him on, you know, not slag him off, support him. Every time he speaks to the paper, it's like, oh, I can't wait to get away from Arsenal. They ruined my career move when I was going to Crystal Palace. I wish I didn't have to come back. He says it on the morning of the Man United game, after he's just dawdled through 90 minutes against Chelsea, when it, quite frankly, was a total embarrassment.
Yeah.
And after that Chelsea game, he should never play for Arsenal again.
No.
Nightmare. It's terrible. Get him off our...
Based on our current squad then, I mean, Bentner is who he is. I think we've established that he probably doesn't want to be at the club and we'd be better off without him. I mean, but until January, or not Arsenal being Arsenal, midnight on the 31st of January, if we're lucky, and your guy on Sky Sports starts wetting himself... what we're going to do, if God forbid, Giroud does break his leg this coming week? No, because he's injured at the moment.
You told me he's coming back after this break.
Podolski. Yeah, that was my understanding. But according to
we've got to buy someone. We've got to buy someone.
No, but what are we going to do between now and January? And as far as I'm concerned,
it's only 6 weeks.
We've got Ju Young Park, someone out of position, or we're going to have to hope and pray that Yaya Sanogo is found.
Wasn't Podolski a centre forward though before he was a notional left winger?
No, he was always played on the left hand side, of attacking three in a 4-2-3.
Why don't we ask Arsene Wenger? Yeah, and it just happens that I am here and I will do what I do against Tottenham and other players. Instead of having four defenders, I will have eight defenders. And what we do if we do not have a Giroud, we will put, I think, use some mental strength and we will have maybe six attackers. But what we do is we have six midfielders who all play in attack.
So what you're saying is what West Ham have been doing recently and playing with the Spain, is it
4-2-4-0.
Yes,
but I'm not worried because Giroud has a lot of resilience, so I do not think we will have a problem.
We'll come back. Well, I think it's a slightly beneficial thing that Benicophobia has started to run again. Because let's face it,
who's Benicophobia?
We've got
Tuber Akpom as well.
Benicophobia.
He's a centre forward. He's 20 years old. He was doing quite well. He was on loan at Millwall last year.
Sounds like a mental illness.
Is he an Arsenal player?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
Benicophobia. Someone suffering from Benicophobia.
I've heard of Chuck Akpom. Tuba Akpom.
In fairness, me and Mr. Goldstein have just decided what we're going to be singing on the next podcast. Chukapom. Okay, look, so let's face it, anyone gets injured between now and then.
Is he good?
Chukapom? Tuba Akpom, I've only seen him a few times.
Oh, can I say, Mr. Gnabry, I can't say.
Gnabry.
He's good,
it's
isn't
official.
He?
It's official,
it's Gnabry.
It's Gnabry.
Yeah, he kind of said it himself.
Herr Gnabry.
He actually said it in a Twitter in a Twitter thing that he was on, and he actually said it's Gnabry.
He pronounced it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I like Gnabry. He's got a bit of what we need.
And I think we'd have done better if we'd have had him at Old Trafford. Instead of Flamini.
He had the flu, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he was on the bench.
Had the flu.
When
they all
came
had
on,
the flu.
We looked better.
Apparently. Had a runny bum.
God, we had a bit of Tottenham. Did we stay in a hotel there?
I don't think we stayed
in... Did we suffer from Tottenhamitis?
It wasn't the Marriott in the Docklands. You know, it's a bit of a trek to Manchester.
Did we look better there when he came on?
But Chukapom.
Chukapom.
We're song, aren't we?
We're digressing.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Anyway, okay, let's face it, if God forbid Giroud gets injured on this coming weekend, we're going to be fucked up front until December. Okay,
never mind that, David. Is there an argument for resting him this weekend? Because he would have played two tough games for France against Ukraine. Possibly France would have lost.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there a chance for just maybe putting someone else up?
Well, do you remember what we did a couple of years ago? We played Stoke at home, and because Van Persie played every minute of every game, he was rested and started on the bench. We had to put Chamakh up front. 72 minutes gone, 0-0. Chamakh had technically been on the pitch.
Van Persie comes on,
scores a goal, gets substituted straight away. Thank you for doing your bit. You fuck off to Palace, was essentially how it went. I mean, that's how it's going to be with Olivier, isn't it? If we stick Nicolas Bentner up front.
I wouldn't play Bentner. There must be someone.
Why don't you just for a laugh play Aaron Ramsey up front?
Yeah, just put anyone
or Jack Wilshere or something. Just score a goal, youngster.
Well,
they play five a side. They score goals in that. Why don't you just do it at 11 a side?
Giroud hasn't scored for 6 weeks anyway, so would it matter?
Exactly. Ramsey's more likely to score than Giroud.
Yeah.
Yeah, play the Spain strikerless formation.
The 4-2-4-0,
Yeah, let's do that.
And literally walk the ball. Walk the ball into the goal, Wenger can retire because he's finally achieved it.
That way you can have Rizicki, you can have Ramsey,
all of them.
The whole lot, right? Just a really like ping, 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 goal, like that.
Well, that's that sorted out. I'm just going to cross that question out.
And there's always set pieces you can score a goal from. Like Mertz, I can get a header from a corner.
Yeah. He doesn't do it that often. He does it in big matches sometimes.
Yeah. And talking of Saturday's game, why is Santi Cazorla flying all the way to Equatorial New Guinea or somewhere stupid like that last week, this week to South Africa with Spain, and then coming back for Arsenal? They'll drop him off on Thursday. Here he is. You know, he complained against South Africa.
That is one problem we've got is...
It's like Wenger said. He said, these internationals, he said, it's like someone borrows your luxury Mercedes. They drive it with the wrong petrol up to the top of the mountain. And when it breaks down, they say, my car's broken down. Your car's broken down. It's got the wrong petrol in it. It's at the top of a mountain. Do you want to go and pick it up?
Yeah,
that's what international football is.
No, I like
that.
I like
what
that.
Said?
Yeah,
when did you say that? It's very good.
Two or 3 years ago.
But I think
he's. Well, he was fed up with all these players coming back.
But by the way, your set pieces theory, Mark. The problem is most of our players. If you look at Cazorla, Wilshere, Arteta, they're all about 3 foot tall. So you're not going to get any apart from basically the
stick the BFG up front. Stick the BFG up front, start putting long balls in. Sam Allardyce will be watching that with a boner, thinking, dear Christ, this is sexy football.
And old Koscielny's, he's useful for the... he always nearly scores from a set piece.
He does.
He made a terrible wicket, didn't he, for France recently.
Isn't it a little bit worrying that that's the fourth ridiculous, needless penalty he's given away this year?
Why has Vermaelen suddenly become sort of from captain? Remember that first game? I think I was sitting next to you, Steve, and he scored that blinder. It was like, Vermaelen, this is the future. He's gone into beating...
He's been rubbish for the last three seasons.
How does that happen?
He was good for one season.
Injuries, I think.
Injured for the second season. Third season, he was average. Then rubbish for the fourth season.
He didn't play that badly in the last couple of games he's played.
The funny thing is about Vermaelen is...
Very handsome man, though.
Nice bird. I had him in my column, didn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
Not literally.
I
did put a picture of him in my column.
That's why he's playing so badly.
Yeah.
His missus has been banging the high.
Would you like to literally have her in your column?
I'd love to have her in my column.
Hey!
Now, I forgot what I was going to say now.
I bet you
something about Vermaelen. No, Man United.
Sorry to all you lady listeners.
If ever you read Man United, if ever you go behind enemy lines, for some unknown reason, he's the player they want in their back four.
Vermaelen?
Yeah. Discuss.
It's not really the same as us getting Sylvester off Man U, though, is it?
This podcast is in desperate need of a new question.
If they want to do a swap for Phil Jones, I'm on. I'll take that.
Okay, actually, a point that you raised slightly earlier on, Steve, with regards to the midfield. Yeah. And the way that we lined up in the Manchester United game. When everyone's fit, in terms of our central midfield players, and it's 4-2-3-1, you've got Wilshere, you've got Arteta, you've got Flamini, you've got Ramsey. Is the Arteta-Flamini axis the best for the team from the options available in the squad?
Absolutely
when everyone's
not.
Fit? No.
Absolutely not.
Who would you start?
Who do I start? If we play
in
the 4-3-2-1. In
the 4-2-3-1, who's going to be your two?
The two, right, okay, right. Ramsey and Arteta.
Interesting.
Other two. The three for me would be Ruzicki, Cazorla, and Ozil.
I beg to differ because I think Flamini, Arteta for me, I think he tends to give the ball away and take his eye off it a bit. He's a good
Arteta?
Player, but he's I prefer Flamini to Arteta because Flamini battles and fights, and that sends a message through the whole team. Whereas Arteta, I think he's a bit lazy. He's a bit, and I hate the way he goes down for nothing and always tries and he loses possession. He's a bit slow. I think I don't think it's quick.
He's 32 now. Maybe play Flamini or Arteta. They're certainly not the pair of them together.
And interesting.
I suppose depending on your player. Flamini cut his sleeves.
Flamini cut the long sleeves off of his shirt at Old Trafford.
And, why did he do that?
Because he didn't want to play in long sleeves.
But hang on, whatever happened to our captain's rule of all for one, we all wear the same sleeves?
That's why he cut it. And little Vicky Akers got very upset.
I bet he did.
Especially because they had poppies on them for like Remembrance Sunday.
Yeah.
And he was very angry that he cut up the shirts they planned to kind of auction for charity after the match. And they're blazing round on the touchline.
How can you
match.
Cut an Arsenal shirt
Mind you,
that's given to you?
The Flamini one with
What's
the short sleeves is probably worth more.
Exactly.
It's the one Flamini cut off.
I know, but what? Well, it's one of those little aberrations, historical moments that.
Yeah.
I was totally unaware of that.
He's not the first person to break that that tradition, that rule. And if you know who it was,
Ashley Cole's the correct answer.
But
he didn't cut them. He actually wore short sleeves.
He just refused to.
Whereas little Vicky Akers didn't give Flamini permission to do that.
Mm. Oh right, okay.
So we still have that rule, don't we? The captain chooses.
Yeah, Flamini got a pair of scissors, and so the sleeves were fraying during the match. He wasn't cut properly.
Who was captain during that match?
Vermaelen.
Arteta. Oh, Vermaelen, you're right.
Absolutely. Vermaelen, he's club captain.
Yeah.
He's still club captain.
He is.
If you were club captain,
Evan, and you spotted Flamini with the cut off sleeves, what would you have done on the pitch?
Oh, I'd be Tony Adams. I'd pin him against the dressing wall at some point.
What about if you didn't notice until, say, 10 minutes into the game?
Next time, I'd say, stop the game. Stop the game, and I'll say, everyone will go, what? Well, maybe what you'd do is you'd rip the shirt off him. Get him booked for defying the Arsenal rules.
Would you have asked the bench to give him a long sleeve shirt?
If I had only noticed that 10 minutes into the game at half time, before the manager sat us down, I would have pinned him against the wall, Tony Adams style, and make sure he didn't do that again. Tony Adams used to do all the time.
Yeah, good.
Because nobody's bigger than the club.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
If he knew what he was signing up for, he knew that's a club tradition.
But his song is Flamini, Flamini.
Mark, who would your two midfield be when everyone's fit?
Wilshere and Ujima Flip, Flamini.
Interesting. I think that could work actually. Because let's face it, where can you really play Jack Wilshere as one of the
attacking moment? I have to say. Ramsey and Cazorla and Ozil will be the three up front.
Ruzicki, he wouldn't play Ruzicki.
I love Ruzicki, but I don't think he can last an entire season. And if you have to go for Cazorla or Ruzicki, I'd just slowly have to go for Cazorla.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that there hasn't been any.
But Ruzicki's been great this season, though, by the way.
Yeah.
His contract's up at the end of the year. Sparta Prague have already said they'd like to take him back, and then the papers have mentioned that Arsenal are going to be offering him a new deal.
Why on earth would we want to get rid of Ruzicki?
Well, he's a year older than Robert Pires was, and Pires was a lot better than Ruzicki is. So,
if you look at that unmentionable person at Man United, Giggs, I've said it, wash my mouth out. So he's 40. He's been playing for 7 years longer than older than what Ruzicki is, If I mean, and we've suffered in the past from getting rid of our best players too early,
yeah.
And we could all probably roll off five names off the top of our tongues now. Do we want to make another mistake with Rizicki?
Well, he might be 33. To be honest with you,
he might be 33, but he plays like a 23-year-old.
Well, what we do is a player who's been injured the whole time, he just starts to come good. The whole team's doing really well, and then we sell him. It happened with Robin van Persie.
Yeah.
Are we going to do the same with Rizicki?
Yeah.
He's just coming good.
Yeah,
and the team's working around him, and he's running at plays, he's tackling back.
You know, that Liverpool game, how brilliant was he against Liverpool?
Brilliant.
And also in Dortmund, he was brilliant as well.
Because he spent such a long time not playing football, he's actually got more years left in him because, you know,
that's true.
He hasn't put in as many hours.
He won't be as worn out as jaded, will he?
No.
That's a fair point.
Can you imagine Barcelona selling Messi if he's still, you know, three quarters of the player he is now at 33? They won't.
Well, he's had a lot of lions, probably. He's probably been lying in, snoozing in the morning.
Tell me in Europe or South America or wherever where you can find a player as good as Rizicki now and without paying less than about 50 million for him, and Chelsea and Man City also being interested.
Well, off the top of my head, I'm not sure. I'm evidently not playing Football Manager 2014.
It's going to be difficult.
Yeah, interesting.
But you think Bassett's
was that a
going
plug
to be
for a game?
No, not at all. It's I was always Championship manager when I was a kid. You know, nearly ruined your degree when you were at university, managing your Southend United team to the Champions League.
I neither went to university nor played any of those games.
It's
what was the question?
It's free now, isn't it? That's all those games. Championship manager.
Is it free on Android and on Apple and stuff? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They're the light version.
Now he's marketing it.
That's all I can play.
Anyhow, Mr. Rollinson, a point that you raised with regards to Aaron, at the moment, he's playing so well in his role. He fits in quite nicely into the attacking three of the 4-2-3-1. And as I'm sure it's a term of his contract, Ozil has to play in the centre, so Ramsey has to fit on the right. Do you think this is Wenger trying to fit square pegs into round holes to pick his favoured players at the moment, or is that generally something that Ramsey can do?
He's far better when he's playing in the middle. We saw that. Well, the first option, David, square pegs in round holes. We saw against Man United, Ramsey is not good when he's pushed out wide. Is he, Steve?
Agreed, totally. No, I can't remember any game where Ramsey is, you know, played reasonably well on the right wing. He might have done something or created a goal or whatever, but for 90 minutes he's not the same player on the right wing.
I seem to remember seeing Ozil kind of pretty much a bit hiding a bit on the right wing during the Man United game. And really then that would have been a chance for Ramsey to go into the centre. If Ozil's going to be, you know, having an off day and he's going to be hanging around on the right wing a little bit. I mean, the whole team against Man United seemed to just be a little bit lacklustre. Maybe we just had flu. Maybe everyone just had a nasty old flu.
They did.
And they did well just to go up there. And I've got to say, we went up there and with the flu and a couple of players out, Man United didn't look that great, and had it not been for Robin van Persie nicking that goal
off his shoulder,
and I've got to say Giroud should have fucking well won that ball anyway. I don't know why he didn't challenge him. He just sort of melted in front of Robin van Persie.
But where was Ramsey though in the box though, just wandering around like an aimless idiot? But everyone was to blame for that goal.
I saw a big number 12 shirt sort of crouching under Robin van Persie.
Before the corner, I think it was a needless corner we conceded, wasn't it?
Yeah,
totally needless corner.
From a third point of view, it was Van Persie having trained with that zonal marking formation for 3, 4, 7 years when he was at Arsenal and just knew where to run at the right time.
What did we think about his celebration? Did we think he should have...
I couldn't care less one way or the other.
What was the celebration? He went mental, rightfully so. I mean, once again, the Arsenal fans were singing that song, weren't they? About Robin, she says no.
Not the accusation song.
You hear it loud and clear on the telly, being sung for the entire match. Not being funny. If you're going to sing that, then I think fair play to him. Fine.
Yeah. I didn't realise our fans were singing
it. It's terrible as well, when we're on the subject of songs.
Yeah.
Every away game we go to against one of the top four, Spurs, Man United, Chelsea, they sing the Arsene Wenger
sit down
and pee
the file song.
Hang on a minute, Spurs aren't a top 14.
Well, nearly top four.
Thank you.
The police will film you singing a song about Sol Campbell or whatever, and they'll find who you are, and they'll put you in jail or whatever. 50,000 people can sing that song about Arsene Wenger at Chelsea or wherever, and nothing happens. It's outrageous.
No, I agree, Steve.
Totally outrageous.
Well, that's because there are laws against racist abuse, but there aren't laws against calling someone a paedophile. There's no law against...
Well, there should be.
Well, there isn't, though. So you've got to go to Parliament for that one.
Yeah.
So off you go. Run for Parliament, Steve.
So I suppose
you're not getting my
vote. So I suppose Arsene Wenger should be taking out a private prosecution against all of them.
I think it's just it's beneath him, and he's just going, oh, come off.
It's unfair, though, that he has to put up with
it.
I'll give him his due for not throwing the toys out the pram a bit. Although, having said that, I remember one game that David Beckham was playing. I can't remember who it was, against Liverpool, probably. And you've got 50,000 people singing Posh Spice Takes It Up the Arse. And, you know, he'd only just got married to the girl. And you know, if it was any of us in that situation, might get our back up a little bit. And he got substituted nearly in tears. I'm not saying that I started a charity or anything like that in Beckham's favour, but you know, I was on his side rather than the opponent's fans.
Did you ever stand up the North Bank in the 70s or 80s? Because I mean, it's Posh Spice takes it up the arse, so what? Big deal, you know. I mean, it's you know, that's a song, it's a football song. It's taking the piss out of it. You know, we used to...
It was basically something about anal sex and his wife.
Yeah, and sometimes you just... You know, you call the referee a C-U-N-T. You do, you know, it's... Look, there are certain things. For me, right, there's certain stuff that's all right. It's a bit of fun, a bit of banter, right? And if you can't take
that...
you're
not
man and... Well, it stops at Posh Spice taking out the arse.
So that is the limit, do you think?
That's the limit for me, Posh Spice taking out... Sorry, I must stop saying that over and over again. I was quoting the song, yeah. But I mean, for me, no, you know, racist abuse is not on, right? Simple as... things like having to go at a manager for, you know, whatever, right? When they have a go at Wenger, it's so obviously some stupid conspiracy started by some Tottenham fan.
17 years ago. So why worry about it?
Exactly. Well, he's not worried about it. No one's worried about it. Let him sing it.
We've been discussing it for 4 minutes. Yes,
but Ambassador, then, would you say then that fans accusing another player of sexually attacking someone, is that on?
Well, Robin van Persie.
Yeah, on your moral.
We were on his side for years listening to that, right? And I just went, hey, yeah, so whatever.
Well, what about when he was at Trafford a couple of years ago? I wasn't the 8-2. I think it was the game, it might have been the game before or after that, when Wenger got banished to the stands.
Oh,
and he was sitting with the Man United fans. He was standing up, wasn't it? And they were standing up, saying, sit down, you fucking paedophile, and all that. I think that's fucking outrageous.
Of course it is, but it's a football match, and you're up north, and the stuff that used to be sung up the North Bank, Steve, are you serious? I mean, that's just what football songs are about. I used to go up with my mum when I was a kid. She used to laugh at them. I mean, some of it's funny. It's meant to be a bit ironic, stupid. Yes, it's ridiculous and it's stupid. And it can be a bit hurtful too. You know, people used to sing Tony Curry Floats on Water, everybody knows that dog shit floats. I mean, you know.
So, no, mate, I do agree with you, but what I'm saying is that the Arsenal fans that moaned and complained about Van Persie's celebration can't really moan. Because if you're going to give it out, then you've got to take it. So they gave him stick for the entire game.
He's allowed to celebrate the goal.
Then he can celebrate the goal.
Yeah, celebrate the goal.
I was asking David's question. So to answer your question, yes, he can, you know, he was more within his rights.
Yeah, I think so.
No, he's not within his rights even to live whilst wearing a Manchester United kit.
He should
be shot at dawn just for wearing a Manchester United
kit. He went there to win a title and he undid it. Fair play, the fella.
Oh, yeah.
Do you reckon bollocks, he's a traitor. Burning.
There are rumours that he doesn't get on that well with David Moyes.
Yeah.
If he made it clear he wanted to come back, would you have Van Persie back in January?
Regardless of us, I don't think the manager would have him in a heartbeat.
You don't think he would? Even though he said Robin is still an Arsenal player?
He did say that.
Yeah, what reason did he say those for?
Why did he say Robin's still an Arsenal player?
Because if he didn't score on Sunday and Arsenal won 1-0, Arsenal...
Listen, if Robin Van Persie came back in January, right, that means he's been there for a year and 6 months, didn't like it, and come back. Come back, Robin, I would say.
Seriously,
yes, score some fucking goals. What, you want fucking Ben? He's
tomorrow.
A footballer. Principles before personalities. Let's get some goals. I don't care.
If he came back in
Genghis
January,
Khan can play for fucking Arsenal if he scores goals.
With this team, I reckon we would be guaranteed champions.
Having said that, as a poll on onlinegooner.com will ask you at the moment, the only centre forward better than Van Persie at the moment is Luis Suarez. He's going to be available if the money comes in. Would you have him?
They wouldn't sell him to us.
Yeah, okay, if we put the £60 million they want on the table, and we've got that money, as Mr. Keswick and his crew told us at the AGM, the money's there.
And he is Genghis Khan as well.
Do you think we could get Suarez for £60
million? Yeah, I think we could. Would you get him? Mark, if he was available for £60 million, would you take him on January the 1st?
Yeah, too right.
No. Even though he's a cheating, racist...
52.50 And he's got to promise not to be a cheating racist with dodgy teeth.
Yeah. If he's not a racist anymore, yes.
Okay.
I'll take him, whatever.
Everyone deserves a second chance.
All right, no, fair enough.
But I just don't think they, even for 60 million, I don't think, you know, they would take the piss out of us again. We go there with 60 million and they'd say, what are Arsenal smoking?
They go, hey, 70, 70, give us 70 million.
Do they think we're going to sell Suarez to them even for 60 million?
Hey.
We're giving him an excuse to take the piss again, aren't we?
He'd be amazing though, Suarez, wouldn't
he?
He's younger than Van Persie, isn't he?
He would be brilliant.
Yeah, he's only about 26, 27.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. You could get him for 60 million and sell him for 40 in 3 years.
Oh, he'd score goals. Yeah. And what with the sort of service he'd be getting?
Be phenomenal.
From that front three.
I'd rather have him than Van Persie, though.
Why go back to Van Persie? Yeah.
Van Persie's drawing his line.
Van Persie's 31 next August.
He's a right dodgy geezer, though. But you know what? You've got some...
Remember
Ian Wright kicking Schmeichel in the teeth. And Ian Wright had he liked to get stuck in Hackney Marsh's style. And he was a naughty boy. But you need a bit of naughty up front.
What would you give to have a 25-year-old Ian Wright playing for Arsenal from January onwards?
Which is exactly what I said to him last season when I met him outside the Wells Tavern.
Oh my God.
It's interesting.
Oh my God.
It's interesting.
That would be heaven on earth.
I did say that to him. I said he loved it. He's great. He's brilliant, right? He's just he's one of us. He's like a total. You would not feel in awe of Ian Wright.
You'd be Wrighty or Henry?
Wrighty for me.
Oh.
Mark?
Henry.
Henry.
Even
David,
though.
Henry.
Oh, I just love Wrighty.
I'll go Wrighty.
Well, you say that. The next issue of The Gooner is out for the whole match in early December. And the free calendar we're giving away with for 2014 is about wow signings the club have made. Gents, tell us all about one that you can remember. A proper wow signing.
Apart from Dennis Bergkamp.
I was just going to say
Dennis Bergkamp.
That's the most
Charlie Nicholas.
How many years are going back?
How long's a piece of string?
Alan Ball, 1971.
Oh, really?
That was a mega signing.
I've got to have Red Boots as part of my contract.
He was a World Cup winner, and Everton's. He was the equivalent. He was Everton's Wayne Rooney at the time.
And he was a bastard.
He scored goals, ginger hair. He was the best midfielder of the England team at the time.
Okay.
We were the double champions. Signing Alan Ball was a statement of intent, much like signing Ozil is now.
Mm.
And that was a mega signing.
What about Eddie McGoldrick?
I liked Eddie McGoldrick.
That was 40 grand well spent.
It was 1.2 million, I think it was.
No, I'm talking about the other 40 grand.
Thinking about that, the issue itself has got a feature on Arsenal signings that made you groan. So going around from the right wing to the left wing, your favourite Arsenal wow signing and your favourite Arsenal, oh Jesus Christ,
well,
not signing. Signing.
Well, it's got to be Bergkamp, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, although Ian Wright comes close. Because Palace are my second team and they're my local team.
Yeah.
September 2001 when we signed Palace, when we signed Ian Wright.
So who do you support when we play Palace? 1991.
Arsenal, of course.
Really? Are you sure? You may fold under questioning.
So basically, when we signed Ian Wright in 2001, knowing how great he was at Palace, and what an idol he was there. 1991, sorry. 91, sorry. When we signed Ian Wright in 91, just hearing it on the radio, on Radio 5 or whatever it was, and Arsenal have announced the signing of Ian Wright from Crystal Palace, you could have knocked me down. I felt like I'd scored the winner at Wembley.
Mm.
So for me, probably Ian Wright.
You know, there are rumours that apparently George Graham turned around or got David Dean to turn around to Ron Nodes and say, we want one of your centre-forwards for £2.5 million. He says, which one would you like? And Arsenal say, Mark Bright. To which Ron Nose says, well, in that case, you can have the other one.
Really?
Apparently so. I hope it's well, regardless of whether it's a rumour or not. We turned that okay.
Well,
Your favourite groan signing? We've seen that Arsenal have signed someone that's made you punch the wall or go for a long walk.
It's got to be the guy from Man United, isn't it?
Which one?
Sylvester.
You bastard. That was my choice.
But to be honest, if they're prepared to play for Arsenal and become one of the family, and become one of the boys, one of us, there's not really a grown signing, because I always look on the bright side and think, they might have been shit up to now, but now they're going to be great because they're playing for Arsenal. But with Sylvester, we didn't really live up to that.
Yourself, Mr. Rollington.
By far and away, my favourite ever signing is Sol Campbell. Just because I remember the day he signed, was my 26th birthday, something like that. And so I thought I'd treat myself to an Arsenal kit with Campbell 23 on the back. I remember strolling around Ballon Waitrose with it on, emblazoned, and this Spurs fan goes, you can't do that, almost in tears, or it was gonna hit me. I've never been happier. I think it was the last time I bought a shirt, but no, that was the best signing of all time ever, and magnificent.
Do you know what, walking around the supermarkets in your Arsenal shirt, when you've just beaten one of your rivals, or any good team, or if Chelsea have lost and you've won, go down to Tesco's the following morning in your Arsenal shirt, it's so proud, yeah. Isn't it? You walk around there thinking, hey mate, I support Arsenal. Who do you support? Whoever you support, they're not as good as Arsenal. Yeah. And I'm wearing the shirt. Yeah. Brilliant. You can get away with it in the supermarket as well.
Anyone we've bought that's made you throw the car keys at the TV?
I'm quite similar to Steve in that I think there must be a reason why we signed him. But I knew when we bought Jimmy Carter, he probably wasn't going to become a world-class player.
Jimmy Carter, bloody hell.
And he was a gooner, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very, very well documented that after his bad time at Liverpool, he was coming home, his family was on the North Bank for years and years. And who can remember his two goals in that marvellous victory against Southampton? But he never really lived up to much other than that, did he? So prove me right, poor little Jimmy.
He had talent, didn't he? Same as McGoldrick, they had talent.
Well, Jimmy Carter.
I sometimes wonder.
We got him from Liverpool, you know.
He was a bit McGoldricky.
I sometimes wonder how much of that was George Graham not bringing the best out of him.
Yeah.
Go on then, Mr. Goldstein.
Well, it's obviously Dennis Bergkamp. I wrote a bloody song about him, and he's my all-time hero.
Available for 69p on iTunes.
It's just available for 69p on iTunes,
which I have purchased myself.
I thought it was 72p.
Well, it might have gone up since I bought it.
It's probably 79p now.
Well, anyway, Mr. Bergkamp, not a
band. By the band, yeah.
But
is that correct?
That was the name of my band back then, yeah. But right, now then. What was
now
I
then,
say?
Now then, now then.
The worst signing,
or
the best signing.
Though, can you?
Yeah, I'll go for the best signing. Do you know what? I'm going to go recent. I could go trawl through the annals of history, but I'm just going to go... for Ozil now, because that was a wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think that would happen. And it could well be that Ozil is the beginning of a new beginning for
the catalyst.
He could be like, because he might attract other players. And you know what? People want to play on a team. We read on the register, whereas before it was like, do you want to join? Apparently in Germany, the other German teammates of Mertesacker and Podolski were making jokes about the fact that what you wanted to go and join Arsenal for and stuff like that. So there was a bit of that, whereas now it's sort of like, alright, okay, they all like, by the way, I was just over in Berlin and they are the Arsenal on their sports show, they've got a thing called Sports Show, right, which is like match of the day, but it's at 6 o'clock in the evening, straight after like the final whistle, they show it straight away, they don't mess about.
Oh,
and they have all the highlights straight away afterwards, and they always show Arsenal now as well. No, we're just like, we're their kind of English team.
Yeah.
So it's great. So it's like you go there and you just see, and I saw the highlights of the Arsenal game, the Liverpool match, before I saw the before it, we would have done here on Match of the Day.
Brilliant.
So it was like brilliant. Yeah. So
we're the French national team. We're their favourite team in France. We're their favourite team in Germany.
No, I think worldwide we are appreciated for. Wenger's held in high esteem as well.
I'll tell you, he's a good German player. That Hummels from Dortmund.
Hummels, the centre half.
He is a brilliant player.
But anyway, I'll go for Ozil, and the worst. I'm going to keep it local as well, time wise. It's fucking Bentner again. I mean, what the hell? When I heard, it's not a signing, but the fact he's come back and he's standing there, coming on with 5 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go against Manchester United. What message is that sending to the rest of the team?
And how shit is that haircut as well?
I'm just groaning big time about this guy. What is he doing in an Arsenal shirt?
He is the second highest scorer at the club with 45 goals.
What, of all time?
No, in the current squad.
I was going to say.
None of which have been scored in the last 3 years. Yeah.
Hang on, he's got more Arsenal goals than Theo Walcott.
Yes, 45. No,
Walcott's number one. Yeah. I was going to shit myself.
Yeah, but that's only because, look.
45 goals.
Look, just give Ramsey, give some of these players a bit more time on the pitch.
Yeah.
You're saying 45 goals, he's the second highest scorer at the club. I can't believe you dismiss him that easily, Basley.
Dismissed.
How many goals has Theo got then? He must have about 30.
No, more. That's 60, 70, I think.
What, Theo?
Probably.
He got 20 odd last year.
Yeah,
he must
have 60, 70 goals.
I don't think he's got that many.
He's been there for, this is his eighth season.
Perhaps Kev can look up in the background on his smartphone.
That's a fair point, actually. He's shaking his head. And at that point, I think it's safe to say we've almost time to wrap up. But before we do, a few more words about the current issue of the Gooner from our editor, Mr. Kevin Witcher.
K Kev, how many goals has Theo Walcott scored for Arsenal?
Oh,
60
would you
guess?
No, I don't know. That's amazed me.
Kev is wearing a very nice denim shirt tonight, ladies.
And he's holding a very attractive magazine, isn't
which
may or may not be the Gooner.
It is the Gooner, and it is the current issue, which is on sale this weekend at Southampton and also for the game against Marseille. Just clicking through to tempt you to buy a nice feature on Arsenal's Nights in Europe, article on Flamini, a retro article on visits to Sunderland's Roker Park, and
who's the cover boy?
It is Aaron Ramsey. And to finish, mentioning his old friend of the Gooner, photographer Mark Leach writes about a photo he took after the semi-final replay in 87 at White Hart Lane, in which David Rowcastle is being embraced by a fan. It's a great story. £2.50 outside the stadium on your way in. And with that, I'll leave it back to our host, Mr. Udoh.
Finally, the usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, our address is goonapodcast@gmail.com.
Do you have any emails today, David?
No, actually. Oh, actually, no, I got a few because we were worrying we didn't have enough content to talk about. Thankfully, this didn't come true. But I on my Facebook page earlier, and I got an email from Tommy Pukrinken, I think, from Arsenal, Finland.
Friend of the club. He once kissed the spy's shoe.
In
Bill Shankly style.
In
the
Bailey.
I remember I was there for that because Alistair Campbell was doing an article about top Spurs players we hated the most.
Post-match drink.
Yeah. After the game against Blackburn when we drew 3-3.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, he messaged me earlier to say that Arsenal Finland are coming across for the Southampton game on Saturday, and I said, as a treat, my understanding is that Wenger's going to play Jenkinson at right back, and Tommy told me to fuck off. So that was quite nice.
That's not really a letter. It's more of a comment.
No, it's just a comment on my Facebook page if anything.
I think
it's not serious about Jenkins playing.
We haven't got any letters, unfortunately.
And Jenkinson's not even finished. He plays for England.
He's all kinds of. We had to re-qualify him as an English player, didn't we?
Is Sagna doing two games for France this week?
He's been on the bench in the first one.
Good.
Didn't come on.
Good.
Just a quick question. Southampton coming up. What does everyone reckon?
It's a fair question.
To be fair, 3 points. You bet this host will argue in this.
Three
week,
points. There we go. I'm going.
If we're going to go to United and lose every year, then we're going to beat the likes of Southampton, no matter how good.
But
they
you
are.
Say the likes of Southampton, they're in third position.
I know they are.
And they go around beating people these days.
I know they do, but they're not going to beat us.
They've got the second best defensive record in Europe after AS Roma in Italy.
Doesn't matter. Whoever replaces Giroud,
I had a very
as discussed earlier, will score against
2-2.
But
we'd beat Marseille by a bucket though.
Who cares?
No, but I had a very lucid dream. But it was actually in my dream. It was Crystal Palace, funnily enough.
Yeah.
And we were winning 3-0, and then we lost 5-3. But it might be that Palace is how I usually that sort of esteem I hold Southampton in. So that might have been a mixture, but. Dreams go in reverse, so it might be that we're 3-0 down and we come back and win 5-3. If that happens, I want serious recognition.
That's
we're serious about winning the title this year, and we are. And we've only lost one league game since August, two since March. Southampton is a given.
If Southampton win, though, they're serious title contenders.
Discuss.
Maybe we'll do it next time. Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for your company this evening, and so I must say goodbye to each of you. Many thanks.
Are we finished?
Yeah. I was halfway through reading this out, that's why Kev's over.
We'll do another one in a minute.
No.
Are we doing the following Thursday's one after this? Like they do the game shows on TV.
Get on with it.
Right, okay. So many thanks, and goodbye from all of you. Steve?
Goodbye.
The Don?
Viva los Cañoneros.
And Mr. Ollington.
Au revoir.
We'll be back in the middle of December with our next podcast. And until then, this is your host, David Udoh, saying thanks for listening.
La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Way!